This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jay Gruden will be on the show at 5 o'clock to make sense of yesterday's Commanders loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Make sure you're listening at that time. We've got a Beltway Blitz. We'll spin you around town at 4 o'clock. And next hour, with regression happening all over the roster, who's stepping the wrong direction over these last several weeks do you worry about most? But first, Danny, let's take out some shovels. Let's dig into this earth and let's do an autopsy. That was gross. Cowboys 34, Commanders 26, and Washington loses. This was the worst loss of this era of Commanders football. The worst day yet of the Dan Quinn operation.
Without a doubt. This is bad. This was a really bad loss. You know my axiom in sports. People that have listened to the show before and have interacted with us over the years, first of all, I'm appreciative. Second of all, you know my deal. When Jacob deGrom is in Cy Young form and he goes 7 scoreless against your lineup, you tip your cap. That guy's great. He does it to everybody. When you lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it sucks. It's not fun to lose to a good team that's winning their division. It's not fun to lose to Baltimore when they're firing on all cylinders. It's not fun to go to Philadelphia and lose a divisional game like that because you may not be as good as you thought they were. But you watch good teams play well, and you go, okay, maybe we're not quite there yet, but that's reasonable to me. The team they played yesterday sucks. They suck. That's a bad football team that did everything they could to show you their hind parts. They couldn't get snaps right. They can't wait to fumble. They can't wait to blow a coverage and let you back into a game. An overmatched dead man walking boob on the sideline. They've got infighting. Jerry Jones is getting made fun of 6 ways from Sunday about the sun coming into his dumb stadium. They stink, and they were better than you yesterday.
One of their coaches on that staff before the game a couple hours before a kickoff in the bowels of the stadium saying basically it's worse than you think it is, that people are jumping in all directions. It's a lot of CYA. It's getting ugly in the building. They didn't expect to come to Washington and win this game. They thought they were coming here for their funeral. And then football happened. But you're right. It's not like the really bad team played really well. That happens sometimes in the NFL. Like, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, the Titans, who are getting ready to come here next week, played a pretty good football game and beat the Houston Texans on the road. Every now and then in the division, the bad team can play well and beat you. The Cowboys did not play that well yesterday. They had 3 points at halftime. Washington just matched their level of bad. But this is why I think this was the worst day of the Quinn operation. To your point, Ravens, Eagles, Steelers setbacks, no worries, guys. They're among the best in the NFL. This was the first time they played down, and they did it in a game where there's just no excuse. Are you at home? Check. Are you more rested than your opponent? Check. In fact, they're the most rested that they have been at any point since week one when they debuted this season in terms of days since they last played. Is Dallas, while you have a mini bye at home, coming off of a short week Monday night football game where they lost a few more guys to injury and traveling? Check. Does your staff know more about that team than their staff knows about your team? Because Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and so many others came here from Dallas. Check. Are they more injured than you, including at the most important position where they have a backup on the field? They had $100 million, Danny, in cap space on injured reserve. Check. And none of it mattered. Because Washington didn't play well, and the bad team, struggling, still found a way to beat the Commanders in Landover, Maryland.
Just gross. There's no way around this. People are going to remember the ending and how wild that was and the back and forth, and they had a chance to tie it or win or whatever, and that's fine.
It kind of is like a tale of two games because I was thinking about this. The show I would have done if we just started it at 55 minutes is a lot different than the show you do after 60 because those final 5 minutes where, oh, by the way, 38 points were scored. I mean, that was an unfathomable, incredible last 5 minutes of football where that wild back and forth broke out. That really shouldn't deter us from the storylines.
This is where I was going.
Or keep us from an autopsy on the first 55, which were the authentic football.
Yeah, I lived and died with it just like you guys did. I had the wild swings of emotion, the ups and downs, the bad, everything in between. I was there too. 55 minutes of football versus the craziest 5 minutes ever. When crazy, random, highly unusual stuff happens, you go, wow, I appreciate that. I saw that. That was miraculous, bad, whatever the case is. That's fine. I got a 55-minute sample where they gained 200 yards. For 55 minutes against one of the worst defenses in this sport with a bunch of quitters who are looking to quit, you managed 200 yards of offense and were anemic at best.
Yeah, the offense was awful.
That's the story to me. And anything else is fair, and let's talk about it, but that to me is the tale.
Well, and I'll tell you what it is, and it's not about the rib anymore, right? Because Jaden Daniels ran all over the place.
And looked athletic and quick and, you know,
that was Tampa
like himself.
Bay week one, yeah. Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. right? He ran for 75 yards, his third highest rushing performance of the season. And two of those runs specifically, including one in the first half and then one in the second half, he had that twitch out of the pocket,
yep.
the surfer through the wave thing where he slid up and passed defenders and took off for 20 yards. He had a couple of big runs in this game. He looked like old Jaden Daniels. So it's not the rib. You can't play that game anymore. And you know what else it wasn't this week? It was not the opponent.
Nope.
I made a lot of excuses for this offense. Well, it was Pittsburgh. Don't worry, guys. The Eagles are shoving it on everybody. They shoved it on the Rams last night. They're the best defense in the league over the last six games. Nobody's been able to move the ball against them since the bye. You'll get right against the bad team and the bad defense. No, they won't. Danny, 3 points at half. They had 9 points with 3 minutes and 10 seconds left on the clock in the game. Against Dallas.
Yeah. Time of possession, they got dominated. Yardage, they got dominated. Every way you can be worse, they were.
Should have been a few more because the kicker missed an extra point and a field goal. So
yes.
It could have been 13. But the point's the point. 92 net passing yards with 5 minutes to play. 92. That would be bad if it was 1978. They had two running backs, Eckler, who, by the way, thinking about you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
And I hope our guy, who is our weekly 5 o'clock appointment every Tuesday, who suffered what looked like a very serious concussion and was out cold
was
on
scary,
the field
man.
At one point. I hope he's doing okay and recovering and feeling well today. We're thinking about him and his family. But Robinson and Eckler, their two top backs, combined for 14 carries for 35 yards against a defense that was allowing 150 rushing yards a game coming in. No excuses. You got.
Right. So if they're going to go pot committed to try to stop that, it should be a field day. It should be 7-on-7, pitch and catch, summer, you know, in shorts and a t-shirt.
But they did. I think they loaded up the box.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They said, we're stopping the run, and that's why Daniels had success to the edges, and it's, frankly, why you couldn't run the ball, and Daniels still couldn't beat them throwing the ball. They still had no downfield passing attack at all.
I mean, none.
They took two shots. One, McLaurin was open, and Daniels threw it out of bounds over the sideline. And the other was the deep shot to Noah Brown where he was perfectly covered, and Brown made a nice play on what could have been an interception, basically, on a ball that was left inside. But they got the ball four times in the second half within a possession. I think it was like 5 or fewer point game. Four times they got the ball, Danny, where if you go score, you take the lead, and they didn't. Think about the offensive setup in this game. They had drives that started at the Dallas 40, the Dallas 47, the Dallas 39, their own 45, and their own 42. So within 8 yards of midfield, when you've basically got to get to the 30 of the opponent to just get 3 points, if you kick a field goal on all five of those drives, you get 15 points. On those five drives, from the Dallas 40, 47, 39, from the Washington 42 and 45, they got 3 total points. That's a joke. I mean, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, the story to me is the offense. And so defensively, they had some let-ups late. They let a touchdown drive happen. So I understand that, and people are going to point to that. Again, the time of possession disparity was staggering at that point. 35-plus minutes for Dallas, and Washington barely cracked 20, and it wasn't until the end when they were moving the football down the field as things changed. 192 of their 412 yards, basically half of their yardage total, occurred in the last 5 minutes of action. The story to me is the offense. Beginning, middle, end. Defensively, that's more than you could ask anybody. And now there's a block kick in there. There's Dallas' own screw-ups and mess-ups. That's fine. That's in the NFL, the way the rules are set up and the way the sport is, having a defense do what this Washington defense did in this game when the offenses and defenses are lined up, that's as much as you can ask. This should have been a game where they won by 3 touchdowns because of how horrendous Dallas is and has played and how they're limping in here looking for the offseason.
Yeah.
And you made them look like a juggernaut while they were screwing up, by the way. I mean, this offense is solved as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
they're playing Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
All the letters are up there, and they go, like to solve? Cliff Kingsbury's offense? Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Here's what you want. Go to the final thing where you give a couple letters and try to, with R-S-T-L-N-E, solve it again. The word is out. They got it. Every defensive coordinator goes, I cannot wait to play Washington.
Yeah, we got pushback on that last week. I'm imagining there's going to be a little bit less of that this week. Because, again, the rib shouldn't be – let's not hear that excuse anymore on the phones for why this offense is broken. Daniels ran all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome on the ground yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Passing game, still broken. Kingsbury has to find answers, period. Daniels is not seeing it like he was early in the year, and he's not playing with the same confidence. And it's not all him, by the way. It's not just his problem, but it is okay to acknowledge that he was playing at a level that he is not anymore. Part of that is, I talk about baseball in this way, they studied the tape. They know what pitches he struggles with. When he leaves the pocket to his right, he extends the throw. When he leaves the pocket to his left, he's running. You know, these little tells that we've heard broadcasters at different points along the season mention in the telecasts, teams know those too, by the way. They probably pick up on them on some of their meetings with teams. And I think Daniels, like Kingsbury, has to make some adjustments and has to get back to playing at the elite level that he was at the beginning of the year. Still a great story that he's been way above expectation kind of for the duration of the campaign, and that you're over 500 in his first year as a rookie, and that you're probably going to make a wild card and you have a really good chance to make the playoffs, although we'll table those conversations for now. But you're basically now splitting the season in half, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that Panthers injury at the midway point. There's the first six games of what Jaden Daniels was, and then if you look at the five games since Carolina, or if you want to count it as the last six, as he got hurt in that game, there's the six games since, and it's pretty black and white and cut and dry here in terms of runaway rookie of the year, MVP candidate, and kind of a jag performance since then that they've got to iron out and figure out for the most part. But you mentioned, you know, Kingsbury. Everyone's going to want to make it just Kingsbury or just Daniels, and that's not fair. The wide receivers are dropping a lot more passes.
Yes, they are.
They had three drops, according to PFF, in the first 8 weeks of the season. They have 10 over the last 4 weeks of the season now. Three times as many. The offensive line protection seems to be regressing on the interior, where there's more pressure coming up the middle from the outside. They're not actually giving up more pressure per dropback the second half of what they've played so far than the first half, according to the numbers I've looked up. But the difference is maybe where the pressures are coming from and how Daniels has handled them. As an example, he was pressured on 35% of dropbacks in the first 6 weeks. Weeks 8 through 12, just 32%, a little down. So he's just handling it worse. 19.7% of pressures turned into sacks on the season. The last 3 weeks, 10 sacks, 36 pressures, that's 27% of the time. He's also throwing the ball away a lot more. He's having more balls batted at the line. You look at batted balls and throwaways, 7 in the first 7 weeks, 16 in the last 5 games. It tells me there aren't as many easy answers for him. There's not the quick outlet pass, the hot throw, the quick game, ball out of his hand, let guys make plays. Like, where is that? Kingsbury's got to get back to giving him some easy answers here.
Without question. And to me, that's a schematic and design thing. And when you, to me, the biggest thing that's going on with the offensive line is you're not ahead of the chains all of a sudden. Remember, early in the year, every first down was 5 or 6 yards. It didn't matter if it was a flip pass out to into the flat, if it was a first down targeted run, whatever, they're ahead.
They were never in third and long.
So now it seems like they always are. Now it's perpetuity. I've seen that before in Scott Turner's offense, Eric Bieniemy's offense, etc.
JD5 mentioned that after the game, by the way, in his press conference. You know, when I asked him something along the lines of, like, what is the deal these last few weeks? And he basically said, we're in third and long more, and we see exotic blitzes, and he also said teams have figured out things that we've struggled with, and they're doing more of it. We're seeing more of that stuff, which is true. But yeah, yesterday, I think he struggled on third down, but over the last 3 games, I'm pretty sure this number's correct. I think he's 7 of 23 passing on third down. 7 of 23. So, like, you get him in third and obvious, and then you drop into coverage, and it's been a struggle.
So, anecdotally, that's why it feels to me the pass rush is more effective against them, even if the numbers don't bear that out. It's because it's more, there's no mystery. There's no that play fake's going to work, or they could do something else on third and two, or if it's, you know, third and manageable because you're going forward and fourth down so often you're getting it. It's a chain reaction thing. To me, it's the run game that looks way less effective on early downs, where you see guy the pile's not moving or the holes aren't there. There's just less thump, less opportunity, it feels like.
I did not look this up. I want to. Anecdotally, I feel like they are seeing more stacked boxes.
Me too.
I think teams are going, oh, they want to run the ball on us. Okay, let's not let them do that. Let's make Jaden Daniels beat us over the top or down the field or in the middle of the field or behind us. And they, as a passing attack, and last week the talking point in Ashburn was we haven't had the practice time, so the accuracy and the completion percentages and, you know, just the chain moving throws aren't there. They got to find them. You know, they got to get back to that real quick. And maybe now that he's back to full speed and on the practice field, you know, they'll be able to do that. But I'm with you. The story is the offense. I will just say, though, I thought the defense was good enough to win this game.
Me too.
But zero pass rush against Cooper Rush. What are we doing here? Cooper Rush, dude. Zero pass rush against him. Dan Quinn, at the end of his press conference, had kind of gotten up and thought that it was over. And Ben Standig was like, one more. And he asked him about the pass rush. And Quinn just kind of sat back down and said, agreed. And, like, slapped the table and walked off. And it was not in any way, like, an abrasive thing. It was kind of more...
Yeah, like, I saw it too, buddy.
Yeah, like, you're on it, bro.
We were there.
None. Mm-hmm. Zippy.
Which is a shame against a beat-up offensive line in their own right.
Inexcusable. Yeah. They were out both guards. Like, where is Joe Witt's potion mixing to get Frankie Luvu on a guard on a matchup there and let him blow Dallas up from the interior? And, by the way, I thought Luvu was amazing yesterday. He had three batted balls in the first half, smelled out a screen, and you know, got him off the field at one point in time. But when you're playing Cooper Rush and he has 8 incompletions all game and no turnovers and no, you know, you're not getting to the quarterback for sacks until basically they're giving you the sacks at the end of the game when they're trying to run out clock. Which, by the way, why did Dallas do that? That was so stupid.
Yeah, it was.
They were on the verge of field goal range to make it a 10-point game, and they did these like 3 straight plays where they would like loop around and lose yards. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Of course, yeah. I think they thought they'd catch him by surprise, get a first down, and end the game that way. And it was sniffed out each time. Glad they did it.
It was the worst looking thing ever.
Yeah.
But like, quarterback ratings are nothing burger. It's touchdowns and interceptions, essentially. But 117 for Cooper Rush yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The only takeaway they had had nothing to do with him.
On fumbles, yeah. I mean, just...
And by the way, Dallas cannot run the ball. Historically. Mm-hmm. They're going to have their lowest rushing total season since before they drafted Emmitt Smith. I heard Joe Davis say when I rewatched the game on Fox. Rico Dowdle yesterday ran all over the place. He had his second best day of the season. So even though the defense was good enough to win, and I do think that they were, it was not like it was a strong defensive performance.
No, it was not. But
what do you think of the special teams unit yesterday?
Well, if you tell me before the game, they're going to have a blocked kick and a blocked punt, I'll go, hell yeah, sign me up for that.
First time since like 1966.
But the net balance is, oh my God. The net balance is obviously tremendously negative, right? With 2 kick return touchdowns allowed. I know there's an asterisk there, and it's a bizarre circumstance. But still, Turpin's great. That's what he does. He is an explosive playmaker who made an explosive play. I don't quite get what you're going for there. I'm not doing a kick it so that guy can return it against me play. I would not do that.
Dan Quinn wanted to do that.
Yeah, I think that was the wrong decision.
Instructed Austin Seibert to dirty a ball, meaning kick him a bouncing ball. Let him return it. On special teams, the list of foibles yesterday, a missed field goal that was not particularly close. That was a bad like misfire of a kick where he struck it, the 50-yarder. 2 missed extra points, including the deciding kick. They allowed 2 kick return touchdowns, including, how about that like nubbed onside kick attempt? That was such a bad onside kick. 8 penalties for 78 yards, some of those on special teams. Remember, they had 12 men on the field on defense.
Mm-hmm.
That was really bad on 3rd-and-1. But you lose the turnover battle. They never turned the ball over. They turned it over 3 times. Didn't they have 3 turnovers through 10 games?
You're 3-9 or 3-10. I mean, it's somewhere in there, yeah.
And one of them was the Hail Mary at the end of the game, so you could say it was only 2. But
this was my point a couple weeks ago, where you've had unbelievable fortune.
Yeah.
Right? So a screen pass that hits Brian Robinson, but there's somebody else there, ends up intercepted.
Which, by the way, not Daniel's fault, but also burn that into the ground, dude. In the early part of the year, tell me he was not throwing that right at his feet. What good is coming from that? The best thing that happens on that is Robinson gets blown up by the dude
tackled
that
picked
for
it off. Yeah. So, like, my point is, the incredible good fortune they've had, where all the fumbles they get, you know, that end up either going out of bounds or they recover it themselves when, you know, Eckler's or somebody, you know, Zacchaeus is hustling down after Eckler fumbles or Allegretti recovers a fumble. Those things are going to regress and the bad's going to happen. It's going to stack up. Well, now it's happening where you've had all of a sudden a whole bunch of turnovers and you can't get right in that regard. Can you overcome that? It's just, we wouldn't notice some of these drops or, you know, a fumble here and there if the offense was still humming like it was. And it was, oh, you missed out on one. We'd be doing a bit where we go, they still scored 38, and that's with these couple of turnovers, or that's with these couple of bad plays. But, man, how great is this offense? That, to me, is the story that this the group from 5 or 6 weeks ago looks to be like they swapped jerseys with the Monstars, right? All their abilities are gone. It's like nobody's open. They got no space. There doesn't seem to be any counterpunch at this point with this offense, even against a terrible defense like Dallas has.
Let's queue up some game balls for the best. There were some highlights yesterday and some big moments, some quality performances, and some gassers for the worst as well on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can dial us now at 800-636-1067. I want to talk about some of the curious Dan Quinn decisions yesterday. We just alluded to one of them. Also, the Kingsbury storyline that will be circulating all week. What we're seeing out of Jaden Daniels. We'll get to those guys next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
My view, I thought, what a wild special teams moment of block punts, kicks, kickoff returns, you know, block field goals, just a number of things, you know, going to that spot. I thought defensively the team played well on third down into that spot to go, so I was pleased to see some of that. But just, you know, not enough plays for us third downs offensively to really win it, Nikki. So unusual game for sure, but that's the division.
That is the head coach, Dan Quinn, of your 7-5 Commanders, who are suddenly, how quickly do things change in the National Football League?
Varies the answer.
3 weeks ago, they're 7-2. Only the Lions are better in the NFC. Well, this here is the, and 3 weeks later, they're a Hail Mary away from 6-6.
Well, remember we were doing the bit about the bargain? Like, would you take 1-1 sight unseen right now,
yeah.
Or? Would you take 1-2, sight unseen, in retrospect? I mean, man, how quickly. You're right. I mean, with the span of, you know, you play 2 games in 5 days, then you add 1 more 10 later. So it's within 15 days, 2 weeks and a day, you're now fighting for your playoff lives.
And it would have been nice to have won one of those games with the Steelers and the Eagles. I think that was kind of the ceiling was 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people looking at those games, even at 7-2, thought there's a real good chance they're 7-4. But the reprieve on the other side, the buoy that's going to keep you from drowning is the Dallas Cowboys. And it wasn't. You went underwater. We will hit the phones in a moment, 800-636-1067. We'll get to game balls and gassers. So there's a lot you can second guess with Dan Quinn, I thought, in this game. I'm not saying all of these decisions are wrong. I'm saying all of them didn't work, okay? I'm saying if you're doing the Monday morning quarterback thing, here are some bad moments. And some of these in real time I would have done differently, frankly. First, what on earth goes into the decision to kick the field goal on 4th and 2 on the second drive of the game? Do you remember this?
Yes.
All year long, they have gone for this. I asked him about it in the press conference after the game, if you want to find that, Darius. It's a couple of minutes into his presser from yesterday. But they ran the ball straight down the field. B-Rob for 7. Daniels for 7. B-Rob for 7. Dyami Brown for 14. Like, they're just moving down the field. They can't be stopped on the ground. And they get this 4th and 2. And at the 30-yard line ahead of a 48-yarder, they decide to kick a 50-plus-yard field goal, which up until a couple of weeks ago before the Seibert injury, they weren't even letting him kick those. He never – but I think the Baltimore game was the first time, like a month into his time here, that he ever even tried one from 50-plus because it was such a foregone conclusion for this team that's been stopped on fourth down legitimately once all year that they just go for these. Except that this time they trotted him out there and he missed the field goal.
Really going into it, we just, you know, talked about our line to kick. And Austin had a good week at it, went to go. So once it's at the space, that's the line to get to. And we didn't feel like we had to overtry or go further for it. So it had nothing to do with anything other than, hey, we're at the spot. Let's go get some points and move it from there.
That answer doesn't work for me because that means a fourth and a foot. We're at the line. It's inside of 52 today. He feels good from 52 in this side of the field. So you just kick it. Of course not. There's context. You're shoving the ball down their throat with the run. You've got the cheat code short yardage quarterback. It's fourth and two. You've been getting these all year long. And they just sent him out there. I hated that. And then he missed.
Yeah. So I know even if he'd made it, I'm sitting there going, no. Like, unless there's something I don't know about. Right? In real time, I'm going, maybe somebody just sprained something. Maybe the right guard can't get off the ground, or someone's out of breath, or maybe there's something I can't quite figure out. But that decision made no sense to me.
Oh, by the way, is your kicker coming back from an injury? Is this one of his longest kicks of the year? Nothing about it made sense.
Yeah, to this point, have I been a horrendous offense where I'm just so grateful for 3 points that I finally got onto that side of the field? I'm not, as you said. I got one of the three best fourth down options in the sport. The best one's that fourth and, less than a foot or a yard. It's the tush push, which I think is cheating. Then, Lamar Jackson, and then you put Jaden Daniels in there. I got it. That's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. That felt off and weird to me.
I thought the end of the first half was ridiculous clock management. I wanted them to use, when they got the ball back with a little over 2 minutes left, to do what they did in the drive where they eventually scored at the end of the game, where Jaden Daniels got into a rhythm. And he's hitting receivers, and you're going up tempo, and it's hurry up. How often do you see this, where teams can't do anything all half long, and then they get into the 2-minute offense, and they get down the field and get points? Dallas did it, by the way, on their 40-yard completion. But at the end of the game, you saw it with Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
They couldn't hit a barn from 10 feet away in the passing game. And then at the end of the game, with 5 minutes left, when they had 3 points, all of a sudden now they go from 92 passing yards to 270 for the game or whatever. I wanted that up-tempo aggressiveness. They run a play and then let 25 seconds tick off the clock to get down to 2 minutes. And what they'll say is, we don't want the Cowboys to get the ball back. And to that I would say, they stink anyway. It'll be okay.
Yeah, my biggest priority is get my offense going, which
Correct.
Has not the entire half.
Please seize some momentum.
Yeah.
Give your young quarterback a chance to get up-tempo, which they haven't done enough because they can't move the ball. But this is a game-forced situation for that.
Yeah, so to me, that's the greatest priority, right? If my offense is humming, Jaden Daniels is great. Everybody's on fire. Yeah, let's play with the clock a little bit. Let's get as cute as we want to be and make sure Dallas has no time for anything fluky. That wasn't the case. They did not move the football at all that half. And as you start to do it, they took their time. Not as big a gripe for me as the not going for it on fourth down, but that's when I kind of had a head scratch too.
Okay, here's the next one. And this one's just tough. Sorry. You kicked on purpose to Kevontae Turpin at the end of the game. He is the leading kick returner in the NFL. And Danny, it's not like he wasn't scary looking in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Go back to the opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. Didn't he return it 38 yards? He had 2 30-plus yard returns in the game. I think he was averaging 35 or more yards per return.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn, after the game, was asked about that. Grab that for me, too, Darius, where he's asked about why you would have this, the dirty ball is what they call it, like the kick on the ground that bounces around. What was the plan there? And he said it's harder to kick it out of bounds than you'd think. Not for most of the league, sir. 14 teams do it over 75% of the time. It just so happens that Washington does it 22% of the time, dead last in the NFL, because their kicker doesn't have the leg strength to do it. So you're right. It's hard for me to kick
him.
It out of the back of the end zone. It's hard, apparently, for Austin Seibert to get out of the back of the end zone. But not for most kickers. They do it just casually. And I'm sure they're not even trying to do it 100% of the time. They might occasionally strategize and go, let's pooch it. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go to the landing zone. But there's, on the season, 14 kickers, 75% of the time, touchbacks.
Yeah, it's harder to kick it out than you think. And so I thought it was really, honestly, from the kicking standpoint, executed well. So if you have to stop your feet and get ones to go, that's the challenge. If you can get to hit the ground, that's what you're trying to do into that spot. But that's the difference.
And it was actually executed perfectly based on the ask.
Mm-hmm.
It bounced in front of him. He has to pick
between
it up.
Between his legs, yeah.
He's got to spin around. He's about to take a knee just to pick the thing up, right? And then he hits the circle button. And I will just say, that was an amazing play.
It was incredible.
Sometimes the other team makes a play. That was one of the, I hate to call it this, that was one of the coolest, full-speed moves I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it reminded me of an old-school Dante Hall human joystick type thing. I thought there were two could-have-been blocks in the back,
yeah.
But neither was blatant enough where someone wasn't shoved. But you know, contact to the back. I've seen that called against.
Sanra still me. Got blocked in the back.
I thought
about
so.
As textbook as can be.
Yeah, I thought so. So, but even still, I don't know. I know the new rules don't allow for the old school squib kick where it's landing at the, you know, the 35 and a lineman's not sure what to do with it. I mean, I know you can't do it that way anymore, but man, that's tough just to give that guy a look. And that's what happens, by the way. So often, if the first wave, when the timing is off, because that's what it is, that's what you're doing, is disrupting the timing of the coverage, which has generally been really good for Washington. If the guy gets by the first wave, that's it. It's over. Like, I think of some of those, you know, Byron Mitchell punt returns or otherwise, where, you know, the guys maybe almost fly by the tower,
yeah.
And then once they're done, you get through the first wave, it's you're gone.
Two-point conversion versus extra point at the end of the game is the last Dan Quinn question. Now, I am not going to beat him up on this. I don't think that was an obvious wrong decision at all. I am much more angry on the road when you're playing a superior team in that situation, or when, you know, you're gassed, or if you go to overtime, you're probably not the better team. You may not win anyway. And we've seen some of those around here.
Mm-hmm.
That annoys me way, 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 way more than you're at home. You are the better team. If you go to overtime, you're probably going to beat Dallas. But that felt like on a day where you've already missed an extra point, Danny, where you've already missed a two field goal, you know, if you count the extra point, two kick attempts, where special teams have just been an abomination, where whatever wacky, wild, crazy thing happened, you just got, to me, that's a feel thing. The Cowboys are flustered, and oh, by the way, I call them the cheat code for a reason. I got the best short yardage offense outside of maybe Baltimore in the National Football League. I got the best quarterback on the goal line on a day where he's running for 75 and feeling good in the game. I went for it two earlier in the game, and he ran around the edge, and he made it look really, really easy, right? So I will not kill him for this, but I would have liked you to just put those stones on the table and said, let's end this thing once and for all.
I thought if after we score, we'd go for one. And the reason behind that, I thought, let's get back into it. But we don't have to decide it on this play. And so that was where I thought, let's go. And then, hey, Joe, we got one stop. We'll get it. And then at the coin toss, you know, let's go through the whole process again and reset it. So I thought in that way, that was the right call. And that, as obviously, you know, you're not factoring in the other part of things. But that was my thought going into it. The previous one, if we had scored, we had to kick a field goal. I wanted to kick the field goal in prior to the 2 minutes so we could use that, have the other timeout. So when you're down two scores, you're kind of a little more strategic to get a kick in prior to a certain time. So that's what we had told Jaden in the offense. Let's get it in before this time. And so it gave us a chance to come back to it, get the stop to go, and then the big one to Terry. So, but I was thinking one the whole time. Sorry, long-winded answer to your question.
So I never vilify guys. I don't want to say never. Very rarely on going for two. I'm just way more cautious about going for two. People just sort of assume it's going to go. Maybe you don't have another two-point call. You used it already. I have no idea. When you're a better team playing at home, my general strategy would be let's tie the game, and I'll take my chances with more football against an inferior opponent in general, playing at home and going overtime right there. But, of course, it misses, and everything's going to look worse in real time. But I never go crazy against guys going for two, even regardless of what you know, maybe the mathematics says, the analytics says, or otherwise. I think too many variables can happen. But yeah, so that one doesn't upset me as much as maybe some of the others that are more controllable.
I thought he did one really, really smart thing, and I don't know if he'll get credit for this around the country today or not, but they kicked the field goal really early, under 2 minutes. They did it on second
Madden
down.
Madden 101 right there. Huge play.
And I thought this was so smart, and everyone's like, it's only second down. What are you doing? There's a minute 50 to go. Why are you doing this? Well, you got to give yourself the most time possible, and you're allowing for the possible miraculous moment, or, you know, the meltdown from the terrible team that you're playing, which they inevitably got, by the way. And it was only made possible because of a shirking of convention, which I wish they would have done one or two more times. But I thought he was really good in that decision of, all right, let's kick it. We need 10. Let's save the most time possible because the clock there is so significant. But yeah, it was one of those days where a lot of those really big decisions that in the moment feel like you could do one or the other, they almost all went the other way. You know, they all worked against him. And that's going to happen sometimes. And that's how you end up a loser in a game that you should win against a team that's not very good. 800-636-1067. We'll get to the game balls and gassers next. If you're on hold, your segment's coming. Who gets your game ball and why? Who gets your gasser? What didn't you like? You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan after a divisional loss to the Dallas Cowboys. That's two losses in the East in as many games. That's now five on the season. Washington, without that Hail Mary, would be sitting at 6-6 at the moment, but they are, as a 7-5 team, a wild card hopeful at this time. Game ball for me goes to Terry McLaurin, the 86-yard catch and run. I don't know what the Cowboys were doing. In a two-hand touch backyard football game, he still would have scored that touchdown, and they dropped 8.
That was wild.
That was like more Cowboys malpractice than anything Washington did.
Still a great play, but man.
I'll take it. Miracle number two in Maryland. 86 yards to the house. That's 100-yard game number 5 for McLaurin on the season. He'd never done that before. My gasser, I guess if I had to go with one, I'll just start with Austin Seibert. I mean, you cannot have a worse game than he did, and he's not the sole reason they lost, clearly, but missed a field goal, missed an extra point, missed another extra point that was more important. The onside kick was botched, and nobody's talked about this, but I didn't even notice it until I rewatched the game. Early in the second half, he had a kickoff right along the sideline that Turpin fielded, like, as it was going out of bounds. Had he have let that go out of bounds, they would have started at almost midfield. I mean, that'll never get mentioned, but that was another thing where it was just a really bad kickoff. He had a rough day at the office.
Game ball, the linebacker tandem, the law firm of Luvu and Wagner. 3 passes defended, knocked down by Frankie Luvu a couple different times. Both had 8 tackles. Fumble recovery for Wagner, a couple tackles for loss. Those guys were flying around, and they were everywhere. Gasser, old Cliffy. Listen, I know there are issues. It's not, you can't make your linemen block better. You can't make Tyler Biadasz on the first play of the game not get knocked back 5 yards into the backfield blowing a play up. But there's got to be something different. There's got to be a counterpunch to the way you're being defended right now to make it easier for your guys, and it wasn't there yesterday.
Let's go to the phones. Who gets a game ball? Who gets a gasser? Chris gets us started in Alexandria. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's up, Grant and Danny? How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
First time caller, long time listener. Let me get some Zorn action here. Oh, man. Gotta love good old Zorny. All right, so game ball, got to give it to Frankie Luvu. Shout out to my brother and his wife. That's a new word in our family now, so got to give it to Frankie Luvu. They had no idea who that was beforehand. Gasser, got to go with the whole coaching staff, really. It's the thing. I don't understand. You know, we won 7 games and we're feeling good, but then we come out so flat against Dallas, and I think it's just coaching at this point. We just seem to be really just coming in really entitled at these 7 wins, feeling like these teams are going to give us, you know, these games, and that's really down to coaching. So it's just frustrating. Grant, you and I are the same age. You know, we've never experienced any of this in our life before, so it's just really frustrating. So please, guys, talk me off the ledge.
Yeah, here's what I'll tell you is, off the ledge chatter begins with they're ahead of schedule. It's year one of this regime. They may still make the playoffs. And you would have signed up sight unseen for 7-5 before this year started and probably thrown a party to find out that would be the record.
Without a doubt.
So that's the talking off the ledge. But what he said to begin the call is correct in the autopsy today, kind of figuring out how we got here. This, to me, was a coaching L. It's not to say that there weren't other problems on offense and defense with the execution and the players, but mini buy for you with a team on a short week. You're healthier. They're not. You know more about them than they know about you. You're really good and they're really bad. I mean, like, this isn't just us on the radio all week suggesting Washington should win the game handily. They were one of the biggest favorites in terms of sportsbook odds of the NFL season. I think it might have been the largest discrepancy for a division game outside of like the Chiefs and the Raiders or something all year long.
Mm-hmm.
There was no excuse for what happened yesterday. And if you're Dan Quinn, you got to take the L. And I don't mean the literal L, although that one.
It's on your record, too. Yeah.
But the figurative L that you were handed and you had to pick up and put in your back pocket and walk away. Pete's in Jersey on Grant and Danny. What's up, Pete? Pete?
Pete.
You will get nothing.
It's that silent Jersey call.
Will he like it?
He may not. Either way, it's his.
Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
What's up, gentlemen? Listen, I don't want to hear any complaints about the defense. The offense was what lost the game. You know, when you shut a team down to 3.5 points, and you mentioned all the block kicks and field goals and fumbles and everything, the defense showed up. They put in an effort that was sufficient to win the game. Gassert to, I would give Cliff Kingsbury two Gassers if I could, just because the offense has become stale, it's become predictable. We don't throw the ball downfield with any confidence. It's like we have to chain together eight plays to have a scoring drive. When we've got two of the most dynamic players on the field in McLaurin and Daniels, I just don't get it. And another thing I want to point out is I don't think Jaden Daniels has taken a snap under center this all year unless it's to spike the ball or to kneel down in victory formation.
He has, but not very often.
That's not often.
That's not that uncommon, I'll say, Chris. I could get you some percentages of other guys. There are plenty of quarterbacks that aren't under center. Like, one of the gripes right now in Atlanta is that Kirk Cousins is one of the great dropback play-action passers in the league. He's out of pistol and shotgun almost every snap because it's Zach Robinson's tendency coming over from L.A. where Matt Stafford wants to be in the gun to see the field and hasn't really accommodated, right? And that's still really a good offense, throwing the football well. But, like, this is something that is a conversation in a lot of markets, I guess I would say. And it's the way the league is trending. It's not just a Kingsbury thing. But I think that's fair. Like, where is Daniels in his progression there? Is that something he's comfortable with? We can iron that out. I want to get into Kingsbury. We'll continue to get your calls at 800-636-1067. But there's a regression happening for this offense. If there was no track record, Danny, that suggested that this may come, if you and I hadn't started talking about this in late September as a possibility, it might feel a little different. But we kind of saw this as what has happened in his career, and we're seeing it now. It's harder to avoid when it happens against a team like Dallas. You can explain away the other ones. So we should get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.